be that way, all right? Take your Bible, if you will, to Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13 tonight. Going to read a passage here and preach to you a little bit on the character of the opposition, all right? The character of the opposition. Acts chapter 10, or 13, excuse me, Acts chapter 13. We're going to begin reading down in verse 4, all right? The Bible said, "So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. And when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews, and they had also John to their minister. And when they had gone through the isle unto Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew whose name was Bar-Jesus, which was with the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man, who called for Barnabas and Saul, and desired to hear the word of God. But Elymas the sorcerer, for so is his name by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the truth. Then Saul, who is also is called Paul, full of the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him, and said, O full of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? And now, behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season. And immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness, and he went about seeking some to lead him by the hand. Then the deputy, when he saw what was done, believed, being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord." Chapter 13, here in the book of Acts, gives us the beginning of the missionary work of the man that we know as the Apostle Paul. This is the beginning of what is referred to as his first missionary journey. He and Barnabas were called out by the Holy Ghost. You find that in the first three verses of this chapter. They were called out by the Holy Ghost. They were separated for the work, and then they were sent out by the church at Antioch of Syria. And I say Antioch of Syria because there's more than one city named Antioch in the Bible, all right? Just like there's more than one city in the United States called Jacksonville. There's a Jacksonville, Texas. There's a Jacksonville, Arkansas. There's a Jacksonville, Florida. There's a Jacksonville, South Carolina. There may be other ones, all right? But you can have more than one city with that name. But this was the beginning of the missionary work of Paul, all right? He went out. And I want you to notice it wasn't long. They hadn't been out long, hadn't been involved in it very long before opposition arose to the work that they were doing, all right? I mean, it says there in verse 8 that Elymas the sorcerer withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the truth. Hey, that's always the goal of the opposition. To get people turned away from the truth. Always. Hey, the truth is one of the toughest things to deal with. Because the truth never changes. Never changes. So when you talk about having to deal with the truth, you're talking about dealing with one of the toughest things there is. So people want to be turned away from that truth. And, hey, can I just say this to you? Just to apply it to us, there's always going to be opposition. When you decide to get serious about serving the Lord Jesus Christ. When you get serious about serving God, there will be opposition. It'll come from somewhere. Missionaries in Paul's day faced it. I guarantee you missionaries today face it. The truth is, having talked with some missionaries just one-on-one, there's a lot more opposition they face than they talk about from the pulpit, and they put in their letters. There's opposition that comes, all right? But God's given us a picture of the opposition. So you say, what's the opposition going to be like? Here it is, all right? The Lord's outlined it for us. I want you to drop down, if you will, to verse 10. That Paul said, O full of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? Here's the character of the opposition we're going to face. I want you to notice, first of all, it's fathered. Notice Paul said, thou child of the devil. Thou child of the devil. All opposition comes from Satan. All opposition comes from Satan. Now, he's by that, I mean he's the father of it. I don't want you to say that every time somebody rises up to oppose maybe you serving the Lord, I don't want you to look at them and say, well, you're the devil. No. Sometimes opposition comes from family. I don't want you calling your family members the devil, all right? But it's fathered by the devil, all right? He's the father of all who oppose the work of God. He is that one. We must never forget, never forget, he's our adversary. Say, preacher, we know that. I know we know that, but sometimes we sort of let it slip. We let it get away from us a little bit. And boy, it's a very, it can be a very dangerous thing to do. Peter warned us to be on the lookout for him. In the book of 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, the Bible said, be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary, the devil, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. He's there. He is our adversary, all right? We've been warned about him, and we need to realize that. He's out there. You say, was this sorcerer, was he the devil incarnate? I don't think so, but I think he worked at the devil's behest, all right? Hey, in some instances, Satan uses folks who are just gullible, or vindictive, or just mean-spirited. And Satan's able to use folks like that. Not necessarily all of them demon-possessed. It doesn't mean that they're demon-possessed, but they are instruments in the hand of Satan to do his work, all right? And you can run into them. Sometimes they get in that position because they get drunk. There's a fellow, I mentioned a guy, we lived in Vidalia, Georgia. There was a fellow who lived next to us. He lived there with his mother. Mother was as nice a lady you could ever meet. He was okay when he was sober, but when he got drunk, he turned mean, all right? He just got mean. Now, that was on the left side. On the end of the block, on the right side, there was a couple, and the woman, she'd get drunk, and she turned mean, all right? She is that way. Hey, look, God uses all kinds of folks. The devil uses all kinds of people. He uses all kinds of people. And you have to realize that. But I want you to notice, the father of it, the ones behind it all, is Satan. All the opposition thrown our way. When you get in the Word of God, the opposition to the work of God, it's always at the behest of Satan, doing the work of Satan. John chapter 4. I want you to go there with me. John chapter 4. It's not chapter 4. It's chapter 8. Maybe. I didn't write it down, all right? Can't remember where it is. It is John chapter 8. John chapter 8, okay? My memory didn't let me down. John chapter 8, look in verse 44. Verse 44, this is the Lord Jesus Christ speaking. He said, ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there's no truth in him. Now notice, verse 44, where it starts, ye are of your father the devil. Wait a minute, do you realize who he's talking to? Hey, he's talking to the religious folks. He's speaking to the Pharisees. He's speaking to those that were Jewish religious people. Some of them would have been considered the most religious folks in the land. And the Lord said to them, ye are of your father the devil. Now, most of the time we figure, oh, no, not religious people. Hey, look, the devil's able to use religious people too. There's opposition. You with me? There's opposition that comes from every status. And you need to remember, it's all instigated. The father of it is the devil. All right? So look for it. We've been warned. It's coming. Be on the lookout. Be vigilant. Be sober, keep your eyes open, all right? But not only is it fathered, I want you to notice it's full. Notice what the Bible said there in Acts 13. It says, O full of all subtlety and all mischief. Look, just as the servant of God, hey, you're here tonight, you've been saved. You're born again. You and I are to be filled with the Spirit of God. We're to seek His filling. Not so you can jump a pew. Not so you can speak as old Carl Hatch used to say in the hillbilly tongue. He said, but you're to be filled with the Spirit. Well, if we're to be filled with the Spirit, all right, so the child of the devil is also filled. Now, not the same way, all right? To be filled, though, implies something is present in a great degree, all right? A great degree. If we have the Holy Spirit living in us as Christians, we're saved. But He's not obviously present to a great degree if we don't allow Him to fill us. Okay? If we don't allow Him to fill us. But if we do, then that presence is overwhelming, and that fill, it's there, we can tell it, it's obvious. Well, the Bible says of these that oppose, this one that opposed Paul here, he was full too. Notice he was full of subtlety. Subtlety. That's craftiness. That's deceit. That's trickery. Now, knowing that the devil is a liar should cause us to suspect his children are going to be deceitful. They're going to be filled with tricks. They're going to try to trip you up, all right? Now, that means often they don't say what they mean. And it also means they don't mean what they say. They're deceitful. They're deceitful. Look, you have to be so careful. I remember when my dad, we went to court over tax exemption of the property where the school is. We were taken to court over that, and Dad got on the witness stand. And the lawyer for the school system, the Birdville Independent School District, that really brought it about, because they're the ones that get their hand in the biggest part of the deal on tax money. And so they had him on the witness stand, and that lawyer tried every way he could to get the pastor of the church at that time, Dad, to say what he wanted him to say. All right? Look, if you don't understand that, it is wise for you to keep your mouth shut. It is so wise for you. Now, you know, I'm not trying to advise you to break the law and then try to hide it. We're not to do that. But I am saying to you, you can be innocently brought in and question. You got to be careful what you say. Smartest thing you can do, even if you're 157% innocent, is have a lawyer with you. Amen. Now, we live in a wicked day. Amen. We live in a day where people they come against you. That lawyer tried every way he could to get Dad to say what he wanted him to say. He was deceitful. He was manipulative, trying to get him to do it. After the trial was over, he did come up to my dad, and he said, I tried every way I could to get you to answer the question the way I wanted, and you wouldn't do it. Now, I don't know that it was great wisdom on Dad's part, but I do think it was a great dependence on the Holy Spirit of God. And we need to realize that, all right, that the devil, that opposition is not going to say what they mean, and they're not going to mean what they say. You got to be careful. Hey, even used to be a shuler out in California, had the Crystal Cathedral. He used words that we use. But he didn't mean what we mean when we say it. Hey, he didn't mean what the Bible said when the Bible used those words. Hey, you watch out. You've got to watch out. That's why the Bible tells us, be sober, be vigilant. Keep your eyes open. Listen, be careful about it. Why? Because the devil's crowd, the opposition that we face, is full of subtlety. They're crafty. They're deceitful. They're going to do everything they can to trip you up, all right? Everything they can. Not only that, but the Bible said they're full of mischief. Mischief. Now, when we use the word mischief, we have a tendency to use it in a way that we think it's almost, you know, we look at it kind of a wink and a nod. Right. Yeah. Because we'll say, you know, some child, man, he's kind of a mischief maker. Yeah. We don't look at mischief the way the Bible looks at it here. All right? We don't do it. We instead just think, well, it's kind of cute, you know. By the way, I'd caution you, be careful about what you think your child does that's cute. Amen. Make sure it's something right, not something wrong. Amen. Make sure it's something right. But the Bible word speaks of an individual who wants to cause harm, evil, or irritation. That's that mischief, okay? That is the fullness of the opposition we face, all right? They're going to cause harm. They want to bring about evil. They want, if nothing else, irritation. Now, we think, well, irritation's not that bad. Well, yeah, it is. If it's constant. If it's constant. You ever had something itch? Well, it doesn't itch bad, but it itches all the time. It's a constant irritation. You can have chronic pain, and pain does something to you. Not bad pain. I don't mean the kind that doubles you over, you know, and hauls you to the hospital, and you say, give me something, help! But I'm just talking about that nagging stuff that's there. That irritation, it works on you. It works on you physically. It works on you mentally. Amen. Just irritation. I'm not going to ask you how many of you here have ever had somebody or something to irritate you, and it irritated you, and it irritated you until you did what you shouldn't have done. I'm sure that's never happened to any of us. But we know people that it's happened to, right? We know people that it's happened to. Why? Well, just that constant irritation. Constant irritation. Wait a minute. Did it ever occur to you that's one of the great weapons, one of the great tactics of Satan? Because if he can get you to do wrong, he say, uh-huh, see? Hey, I'm happy now. You did wrong. That's what I was trying to do. That's what he wants to do, all right? That's why the Bible tells you, hey, the opponents that we face, they're full. They're full of subtlety. They're full of mischief. They're fathered by the devil, okay? But I want you to notice their focus. I think here's their focus. Back in verse 10 in Acts 13, the Bible says there, in that verse, he says, thou enemy of all righteousness. Amen. Thou enemy of all righteousness. Hey, if it's right, the devil's against it. If it's right, he's against it. He's against all forms, fashions, and facsimiles of anything that's right. Anything. Even the littlest things, he's against it. Look, there's things going on in our world today that I believe are caused and by Satan himself, that just looked at all by themselves are sort of a minor thing. But in the big picture, they're not minor. Right. All right? But there's little things. But that's the devil, because he's against anything that is right. Amen. Anything that is right. And, hey, that means if it's wrong, he's for it. Right. He's for it. Doesn't matter what it is. Wrong thinking, he's in favor of that. He would like you to have wrong thoughts. That's what he wants you to do. He doesn't want you to be able to think right. He's against that thinking right, but he's for wrong thinking. He's for wrong attitudes. You got a bad attitude, you get the wrong attitude in life, you're satisfying Satan. Amen. Wrong attitude, he's for it, all right? The wrong actions, boy, he's definitely in favor of that. Wrong looks, he wants that. anything else you can think of that's wrong is where his focus lies.
Amen.
Because he's after that, all right? Anything. He's the enemy. You understand? The enemy of all righteousness.
Amen.
All righteousness. I mean, the littlest thing that you might do that's right. Hey, we don't consider it being big to be polite. It's not a big thing. Just be polite. Can I say this to you? The devil's against that.
Amen.
Devil's against that. You said a little thing like that? Yep, all righteousness. Anything that's right, he's against it. So he doesn't want you to be polite. He would much rather you be perturbed. He would much rather, when people ask you a question, that you give them a snap for an answer. My wife's talking about one of the kiddos in Sunday school and church this morning. She asked a question, and man, he just snapped an answer. No reason for that. No reason for that. Hey, but the devil is for anything's wrong. He is against, he's the enemy of all righteousness, okay? But when it comes to wrong, he promotes it. He promotes it. Hey, when it comes to wrong, he produces it. When it comes to wrong, he popularizes it. When it comes to wrong, he promises it. Do anything he can to get you messed up, all right? I just said, preacher, why are you going over this? We need to understand the opposition we face. We need to understand how he operates. We need to understand how he's going to come against us, okay? Because he will do it. And he's the enemy. His focus, anything that's right, he wants to destroy it. Anything that's right. Hey, a small church tries to start up. The devil's against that. Devil's against that. Devil's going to fight it with everything he can. Everything he can. He'll use anything he can. I want you to know the fashion of the opposition. Notice there in verse 10 again. Wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? We need to realize all that the devil does is a perversion of that which is right. A perversion. Listen, when he came after Eve in the Garden of Eden, he didn't start out by saying, hey, God's lying to you. He didn't start out that way. But instead, what he did was, hey, you considered that fruit right there looks pretty good, doesn't it?
Yeah.
His desire was really to get Eve looking.
Right.
Looking. So she did. And the Bible said she saw it was a tree to make one wise. The devil was out there to pervert the right ways of the Lord.
Right.
Notice what he said. What did he say to Eve? He said, if you'll do it, you're not going to die, but you'll become as gods.
Yeah.
You'll become as gods. You're going to find, what's he doing? He's perverting the way of the Lord.
Right.
All that the devil does is a perversion of what's right. Hey, look, we need to realize devil has a religion. Devil has a religion. No problem with that. He has a religion. He has his gods. He has his places of worship. He has them. They're out there. There's some that look like a temple, look like a church, if you would. But I'll tell you this, every bar room, every beer joint, every nightclub, every dive is a place of worship of the devil. Every one of them, all right? Many places of entertainment are really dedicated to his work. He said, oh, preacher, you're just overreacting. Okay. I'm just looking at it realistically. I'm just looking at what I've seen. It's amazing to me how many people just in life that I've run into and that bear the marks on their body of what they got in the bar room.
Yes, sir.
It's amazing. Amazing how many times they're there. How many that have said to me, well, I said, hey, what you got? That's an unusual tattoo. That's a prison tattoo.
Yeah.
Oh, what'd you go to prison for? Murder. I killed a person.
Amen.
Man, I'm in the wrong house. No, stood there and talked to him. Amen. Where was it? Parking lot. What parking lot? Billy Bob's.
Yeah.
Billy Bob's. Hey, look, we need to realize the devil has a religion. He has his gods. He has his places of worship. They're out there. He's doing everything he can to pervert the right ways of God. Can I say this to you? I believe a lot of what passes for contemporary worship is a perversion of the right ways of God. Perversion of the right ways of God. It's just we've got it perverted, okay? And people are going for it. Because rather than the emphasize, remember what the Lord told that woman, that Samaritan woman he met at the well? He said, if you're going to worship me, it's going to be in what? Spirit and in truth. Spirit and in truth. It's a spiritual thing. Spiritual thing. All right? I don't believe there's a thing in the world wrong when we get in the house of God and the Lord just moves amongst us. I don't believe there's anything wrong with you raising the hands or anything. I don't believe there's anything wrong with the amens and the glory to God. And if you want to get out and wave a hanky, have at it, all right? Got no problem. But I tell you, when worship becomes such a thing that it's more physical than it is spiritual, then it's a perversion of the right ways of the Lord, okay? It's a perversion. And you see it. I've talked to people before, and I've watched them, and I think, man, if that was the way I worshiped, I'd be wore out when I got home. Man, I don't think I could take a long service, you know, because... But it's the flesh that's involved more so than the spirit of God, all right? Hey, it's his fashion. He perverts the right ways of the Lord. The opposition will always do that. Always do that. And when that happens, that gets people to looking at folks like us and they say, hey, man, we're worshiping. Won't you get in here with us? We're worshiping God. Why don't you? No, it's not the right way of the Lord, okay? Not that at all, okay? Not at all. So we've seen the father of the opposition is the devil himself. The devil himself. And those that are in opposition are full. They're full of subtlety. They're full of mischief. They're just filled with trickery and deceit, all right? But also, the focus is anything that's righteous. Satan is after and against anything that is righteous, anything at all. And the fashion of it is a want to pervert the ways of the Lord. Look, the whole deal of same-sex marriage is a perversion of the right way of the Lord. Perversion. Perversion. All right? It's taking something that's right and twisting it. And then saying it's okay. No, it's not. No, it's wrong, okay? So that's the fashion. But now I want to say this, okay? All the opposition of Satan is a flop if we'll face it. I want you to look in verse 12. Now remember, let me back up a second, okay? Remember what was the purpose of the opposition of Elymas the sorcerer. You remember what it was? All right. Verse 8. There's the opposition. Here's the purpose of it. Seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. That's the purpose. We don't want this deputy, Sergius Paulus. He's interested. He's called for Barnabas and Paul to speak to him and to talk, and he wants to listen. The Bible said he desired to hear the word of God. So here's Elymas, the sorcerer, that said, nope, I'm going to turn him from that truth.
Amen.
But you look at verse 12.
That's right.
Then the deputy, when he saw what was done, believed.
Amen.
Believed. All right? All the work of Elymas went to naught. Everything he did, it was a flop. It was just flop. It didn't work. It didn't come out all right. Why? Because Paul faced the opposition. He faced the opposition. In the face of all that bad news, there's good news. The opposition of the devil is not undefeatable. Now, I want to strongly encourage you not to think you can take on the devil in your own strength. We can't. But man, if we'll do it under the power of God, he can be overcome, and he has been overcome, and he will be again, all right? Just here in our text, he was defeated, all right? Paul faced that opposition. He called it out for what it was, okay? He rebuked that opposition. He didn't back away from it, all right? Didn't do it at all, no. But he rebuked that one who served the devil and said, man, you're going to be blind. He said, preacher, I can't do that. No, you can't. But you can rebuke it, and you can stand against it, and you can step forward and call it for what it is, all right? You can do that. Hey, opposition can't just be ignored. Sometimes it has to be faced. Sometimes it has to be faced. When you do, you face it in the power of God, not in the flesh. In the power of God, not leaning on yourself, not trusting in you, but trust in God to use you. Trust in God to take you and to use your life to do what God wants to be done. Hey, folks can still get saved. Folks can still get saved when they see the truth of the gospel. It's just our job to present that truth. It's our job to serve the Lord. It's our job to resist the devil. It's our job to face what he throws our way and just go on. All right? Just go on. We don't back off. We don't back away. We don't want to be defeated by Satan. Well, I'm preaching to you tonight trying to show you here's the opposition that's going to come. Here's the way it's going to come. But you don't have to sit there and say, well, I ain't got a chance. Well, yeah, you do. Yes, you do. Hey, he's not undefeatable. Instead of us giving up, waving the white flag, let's just allow ourselves to be the instruments of his defeat. Just allow ourselves, Lord, just use me. Just use me. I'm not meaning any kind of arrogant way. I'm not talking about you getting the idea, man, I'm going through life, I'm going to become a devil slayer. No, I just want you to serve God. Just want you to serve God. And I want you to realize if and when you do, there'll be opposition. There'll be opposition. So when the opposition comes, don't go, well, I must be doing something wrong. No, that's a good indication you're doing something right. There is opposition. Don't run from it. Face it. Face it. If need be, take it on. Rebuke it. Say, how am I going to do it? I suggest you do it with the Word of God, all right? Just stand on the Bible. Stand firm. And you can be successful, all right? You can do that. Man, Paul stood up to him and he called him. He called him what he was. He called him what he was. And there's no indication whatsoever that Elymas said, how can you tell that about me? No, Elymas knew, you got my number, bud. You've got my number. He knew what he was. And God used Paul, and that deputy got saved. Amen. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. Look, just encourage you tonight, okay? Just encourage you tonight. Yeah, we're going to face opposition. Right. Don't ever get the idea, opposition shouldn't come. It'll come. Right. Just face it and go on. Face it and go on. It can come in all kinds of forms. People can lie about you. And they will. Somebody will sooner or later. Don't get so mad at it. Realize, I knew it was going to come. It's going to come somehow. Somehow it's going to come. Let's face the perversion of everything that's right the devil throws, and let's be sure he's pushing wrong, let's be sure we're in the right, okay? Amen. Let's be sure we're in the right. I just want to encourage you, have the right attitude. You have the right approach. You don't have to become arrogant. You don't have to lose your temper. That usually doesn't help anything. But you just stand for what's right and keep on doing what God wants you to do. Keep on doing that. Would you bow your heads tonight? Every head bowed and every eye closed. I really have no idea how to give an invitation for the message tonight. But I do know this. There may be somebody here, you just need to spend a little time at the altar. We want to give you a chance to do that. We want you to have that opportunity. We want you to come. If God's dealt with you, maybe you've got a burden. You just got a burden that needs prayer. Or the altar's a good place to bring it. Do that. Heavenly Father, would you help us tonight? Lord, help us to understand the opposition that's going to come our way as we serve the Lord. There will be opposition. We ought to expect it. And Lord, Peter tells us to keep our eyes open, to be on the lookout for it, so we'll be ready. We can face it, not be tripped up, not be fooled by the devil. Oh, Lord, help us to stand firm for you. Help us stand for what's right and oppose